Hey guys, this is John.
And Austin.
And this is another episode of the Meatgistics
Podcast.
Meatgistics Podcast, of course, obviously.
That's now 2 weeks in a row. You screwed the intro.
No, I got it right last time.
Did you?
Yeah.
You guaranteed listened back and
no.
It was right?
No, I don't know. I assumed.
I kept your entire flub up in, so.
That's fine.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. Why not? I'm the producer, but I'm just I'm letting you know that just so your face isn't red.
Right? Yeah, I listened to the whole thing, but I know I at least listened to the beginning. And yeah, what Patrick left in, as soon as it started going, I was like, yes, this is great.
Well, I think that's what people like podcasts for, is they're authentic.
Yeah.
It's just mostly a conversation.
These are not scripted.
We don't talk about, we don't even mention what stories we're going to talk about ahead of time. So
sometimes I will look just to have an idea of what's going on.
Okay.
But there's times today I didn't look at anything. Today I've been in, Wednesdays are not my meeting days, but today I've been in meetings like all day. Yeah. And so I haven't had time to even open it up. I just open it up, start clicking links to open up tabs for everything and just look at it real fast.
But I mean, that's all you really need.
I think it's more entertaining when you get some honest, off the cuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's not, you haven't thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is, we did a Willa Barbecue right before this, and we're tackling Austin's fears one by one. Today we took on snakes, specifically rattlesnakes.
If we're tackling my fears one by one, I'm not telling you anything else I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of large sums of money.
Would Jenny tell me? Seems like she might.
Oh, she would definitely tell you. She would definitely
might be able to get a few other animal fears out of you. See, I don't get it though, because I had a hunt. We're going to eat shark. I'm all about that. Bear? Absolutely. But I don't think I'm afraid of bears. I'm more fascinated by them. Like, do you know who Adam Greentree is? He's a bow hunter from Australia.
Kind of.
So he's the guy who proved that grizzlies are back in Colorado.
How do you do that? There it is.
Yeah. Guys. He literally got a video of one charging him, showed it to Colorado Fish and Game, whatever they call them out there.
That's the safest way he could have done that? You guys don't believe me? Well, check this
out. He did not mean to have a run-in with a grizzly. He was showing it to him. They're like, no, that's not in Colorado. He's like, what? I have GPS on I was. I was in Colorado. Anyways. I don't know.
I agree. I'm
all about eating.
I'm terrified of the idea of being next to a grizzly bear. Like, you always talk about sharks. I'm always like, well, yeah, but we're in Kansas. What?
Right.
And meanwhile, I read earlier today that they found a bull shark in Iowa, all places. So nowhere is safe.
They go way up the Mississippi River.
Yeah, 1,000 miles away from where it was supposed to be.
I thought they're saltwater fish.
No. Bull sharks, which is the shark with the highest level of testosterone, is perfectly capable of surviving in brackish and freshwater. Perfectly. It doesn't even, it might bother it a little bit, but it will do it.
So absolutely. Then you take that concept and then put it on land. That's a bear for me.
Adam Greentree said, he's like, he has an Australian accent, which I will not try. He's like, monsters are real. Yeah. He's like, it's not their fault, but a grizzly bear is a if you described a grizzly bear to somebody and they'd never seen one before, they'd be like, oh yeah, you're talking about a monster.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, the visual... It's funny. Then they try to do this cuddly bear thing in the States. I think they talked about that too, probably on, we might have watched the same podcast, but then 100% teeth, fangs. I mean, actually, documented hundreds of cases, thousands by this point of not ripping people to shreds when they're hungry, campsites
or scared,
going out of their way. Oh, they're near their cubs. Bogus, dude. That's a monster. That's
not an excuse.
It's a monster, dude. Yeah. You could probably argue bear has just been all those monsters of old tribe folklore. It was just, they didn't know they were encountering just
war
a giant
bears.
Bear.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
yep. Definitely could argue that. That's actually a good argument.
We haven't talked about any Bigfoot sightings lately either. Kind of disappointed.
It's all bears.
Have there been any bear or Bigfoot sightings recently?
I don't know.
Not that I know of.
I haven't been paying attention. Normally, I get it from you or text.
Yeah, I feel like I would.
Dude, ever since TikTok came out, you'd think we'd see a lot of sightings like that. But now it's just, we're all distracted now, I guess.
So, yes, absolutely. Like, the argument against there being a Bigfoot is everybody's got a phone, everybody's got a camera. But you still have to understand, when we drove to Missoula, that did a great job of reinforcing, in my mind, how empty this country is. Mm-hmm. There are hundreds of square miles of nothing. Anything could be out there. Literally anything. There could be that short-faced bear could still be out there for all we know.
Well, and then all the cave systems they're now just discovering.
Right.
And they didn't know it was there. So it's like, how did you not use that technology? I mean, it's easy to say now, but like, they're just looking at you. They're just using Google Earth and looking down, and people are like, oh, what's that giant?
What is this here? What are we seeing?
Or you could just get a better scope for, you know, landmass, I guess, because like you said, rediscovering like a rainforest areas and just going like, oh, we had no idea that we thought they were extinct or whatever. Meanwhile, it's just high vegetation just grew over everything.
Yeah, and people don't live there, so nobody sees it.
Yeah, there's no one with a machete going down like the bad guy in Tarzan.
God, I thought that was going to be my life. I really did, like growing up. Like the one comment that has stuck with me way more than pretty much anything else was like 7 years ago, somebody said, I thought fire and quicksand were going to be a much bigger part of my life. And that was me growing up. I took quicksand super seriously as a kid. I'm like, I got to know how to get out of this stuff because it's going to be around. No.
Well, yeah. And then I feel like it was just more prevalent in video games. Like, what was it? Was Pitfall?
Pitfall.
Yeah. So that was the major player. discovered quicksand. That was
probably what did it.
When I was growing up, it's like you get to watch Bear Grylls just jump in it for fun to show you how to get out of it. So
have you watched Alone at all?
No. Is that good?
So the 8th season is on Netflix, and that's the only one that's on Netflix. But like, they are deep in bear country. They're having bear run-ins like every episode, and like big grizzlies too. There was one that was like looked gaunt, and it was along the shore, and I'm like, oh, that bear is looking to eat you. You better watch out. Anyways, back to the snake. Will it barbecue? Simple answer, yes. This is going to disappoint Travis. I'm on his podcast, The Flush, on I think next Tuesday. Yeah, this upcoming Tuesday. And I'm sure he demanded that we try this one before I do it. Demanded is not too strong a word. I'm sure he was hoping that I hate it, but no, not at all. The chicken comparison is obviously done to death, but it has a similar taste to chicken. Texture is different for sure. We used our Moho Zesty, Walton's Zesty Citrus Garlic Moho seasoning on one and the BHA Wild Game seasoning on the other. Taste-wise, the Moho, I think we both preferred the Moho.
The Mojo, yeah.
Moho, definitely. The one we used the Wild Game on was a thicker snake. So it had more meat to it, so I liked that more. Why do you keep laughing when I say thick?
I don't know. Just the way you first described it was entertaining.
How did I describe it?
So it was a chunky boy or something. A chunky boy,
yeah.
And I was like, you know, I don't feel bad for it, but like, a snake's a cool, noble creature.
And no, it's not.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you'd rather be a snake than something lame, right? There's probably a worm wishes he was a snake. Oh, sure.
Yeah. I gotcha.
And then, you know, the way whether they're farmed or captured, however the hell, and it's packaged up to us and then, you know, beautifully prepared. And then the last thing it hears, you know, not that it has ears, but then before it's devoured by John, is that it's fat.
Body shaming
some,
the snakes.
Yeah, of all people, too.
That's terrible. No, I meant terribly mean.
The person that doesn't like to be body shamed is doing that with which he.
Why do I not like to be body shamed? Nobody makes.
No
more
one
fun
does.
Of
I'm
me,
just
then.
Saying. I think you introduce it all the time with your dunk tank talk. So, listen, yes. I'm John's the best shaped guy at Walton's. So I don't know.
That's not accurate.
Well, take the damn compliment.
Dude. Oh, thank you. But that would be Will.
Will's 100%. Yeah, definitely more in shape than you are.
Tall guy in the warehouse.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, he's pretty
You ripped. Can't even like make a joke about
it. It's not
that.
Even close. Yeah. So, but I will take the compliment.
Yes.
Okay. Summer sale continuing to go on. We have $250 off some equipment, $100. So if you're looking to buy something, now would be the time. People are absolutely snapping up the 20 and 30 pound electric sausage stuffers as well that are on pre-order. We're hoping to have those in the next couple of weeks. And the next shipment should be just a week or so-ish after.
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully, as long as
no promises, guarantees. No promises. All, no. Yeah, everything is all best guess in today's world.
Are they? They're not in the States yet, right? They're still on a ship, probably.
To be honest, I don't know. I haven't looked in the last week.
Well, if we're saying it's the third, no, they wouldn't be. They must be waiting in LA Harbor or whatever that harbor is called out by there.
Yeah.
So that's where everything's been backed up for forever. Absolutely insane. All right. So the last two weeks, we've talked about new plants that are opening. So I've got another one. This is Fendon Meat Processing in Shawnee, Oklahoma. It's a really nice looking plant. I was going all along their website, looking at all their pictures. Really, really clean processing room and cooler. I was impressed with that. They offer inspection and custom. They typically hang beef for 9 to 15 days and 5 to 7 for lamb and goat. So they're doing beef, lamb, and goat. They also do halal processing. They say the Faze Ranch was established in 2020 with a simple objective to raise grass, grain-fed cattle, goats, and sheep. With over 360 acres, we allow our livestock to graze freely on Bermuda grass. They should come over to my house and eat all mine while receiving daily grain supplements. Our team of highly experienced professionals ensures and guarantees the quality and demonstrates the exceptional animal welfare. So they opened at the beginning of this year and they bought another location, are hoping to have that open in 6 months or so, which I then wrote down February of 2023, because oh my God, 6 months is going to be February of 2023.
That's crazy.
That is insane. This year, I'm sure I say it all the time, but this year has gone by unbelievably fast. And when I look back on it, like in 2021, all the website problems, right? Just constant fighting that. So makes sense that like days just bled into each other. And I was like, okay, well, I'm doing the same thing I've been doing for the last 360 days. This year, not so much that, but still time just going zoop and gone.
Supposedly, everybody always says time continues to go faster the older you get too. So if it's going fast now, wait till we're in our 50s or 60s. It's going to be crazy.
No, I'm going to have to retire. Go live on a mountainside somewhere. Have you read the book Hatchet? When you were a kid, did you read Hatchet? Nope. What about My Side of the Mountain?
Nope.
Patrick? Hatchet's the book where he's flying. He's a kid. He's in the plane in Alaska.
Dude, I could.
Pilot has a heart attack.
Crashes. I could tell you what the cover looked like and who wrote it. Was it Gary Paulson, maybe?
That sounds.
Anyways, right? He did a lot of those things, but no, I did not read it.
Okay.
Notorious for.
Pretending to read
my
books.
Mom, signed my AR, whatever the hell points. I go, I did 60. She goes, that's whatever.
Okay, who cares?
She goes, who cares?
He can barely read.
It was trending in the way that the internet started to kick ass. So it's just like, why would I need to know that on record? So,
that's a fair point.
Yeah.
Then I have a picture of a cow from their website that I posted in here because I really like the way the cow's looking at us. Like it knows you're going to eat it. It's like, come on, can we get this over with? I know you're going to eat me. Just go ahead and eat me. Like, he's had enough of us.
Well, at least we don't like Hannibal Lecter cows, you know? Like, we like eat it in front of it. You know, like we.
I'm going to take your front quarter first.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be terrible.
Make him eat a bite of its own brain.
Well, that's how mad cow disease started, right? It's a prion disease.
You got Ray Liotted.
Well, that's not, I don't think it was the actual brain, but
just ate.
It might have actually been the feces of other cows.
Call in if you know how mad cow
disease. He's looking it up right now. I can see Austin looking up the origins of mad cow disease, but I thought it was them eating like other cows.
You know, I just had a thought and I don't want to lose it in interest of this, but and it has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but it is in the season because football season's coming up. I want to kind of incorporate a meat fantasy draft, so to speak, on the podcast. Now,
how would you
exactly?
Right,
that's what I want to talk through. Like,
here's how you would do it. You break it down into primal cuts, and then what price increases the most.
So it's okay. So you almost do salary instead of a snake draft. Pun not intended, right?
Either way, salary or snake, you're doing it in like. I'm buying ribeye today and ribeye costs XYZ per pound.
Oh, okay.
By each week.
I get what you're saying.
I think that's the only way you can.
Because then that's a sweet steal, so to speak, of the draft. So, because it's like, oh, I want steak, but at what cost are you willing to get steak?
So, yeah, that obviously is the
other. We'll think this through, but I think there might be something there.
Okay.
So I found like the web's most authoritative source on diseases.
Was it cancer?
Wait, was it John FASQ? his troubleshooting document. I found that everywhere now.
WebMD. So we're going to self-diagnose all kinds of things here. But from 2005, so it's a little old. It says from the WebMD archives, but they're going through the story, and their guesstimation is that it started in India, and it happened because there was ground up bones of sick people that wound up in animal feed that was shipped to the UK.
Okay.
And then cows ate that and they got BSE from it.
Okay.
Where'd the bones of the sick people come from, and how they get that close to any kind of...
This is somewhat related in two ways, both snakes and India. Don't answer, because I think I've asked you this before, Patrick. Okay. Yeah. How many people a year do you think die from venomous snakes in India?
Ooh.
Yeah.
We
talked about that.
27,000.
Mm, good guess.
Halfway there.
Really? Over 50?
In a year, dude. And that's not... Are you saying die or just get bit by venom?
It says die.
Oh, that's got to be... That's more than one snake. I mean, I'm sure the snake population is
insane.
intense down there, but you got to imagine that's like a couple... Like one All snake right. might kill three people.
It maybe. Says 1.2 million. That's a little...
Jeez.
No. That's in the past 20 years. Okay.
Still lead with
but
that.
But there you go. It's 50,000 then. More than 50,000.
Mm-hmm.
58,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, lots of people dying from snake bites in India. So, they're just buried everywhere.
What's a plane ticket to India right now? Let's...
What would it cost to get Austin to go to India?
No.
No, it's already bought and paid for, dude. Come on. Go.
We're going to film it.
No, that's what I put
the rest of our advertising budget into. It's actually, Austin in India.
It's actually the first episode of our TV show we're going to do. That's how we got to do it.
Well, there's only going to be one, because I'm not going to survive.
I have to free dive with a great white shark. You have to go walk through a room of cobras.
I got a legit question, though, because the footwear is different over there. Do you think that would save some people? Well, they might probably, unbeknownst to them, step near.
They wear sandals.
That's what I'm saying. If they wore shoes, do you think there would be less bites?
Yeah, probably.
That's why. I mean, these numbers are a touch inflated is what I'm saying.
I would have full metal, what do they call them, greaves, like a knight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd
have I'd walk around in the lower half of a suit of armor, slaying just making dragon. Sure.
Yeah.
What do you call those things?
Snakes.
No, I have a pair of something like that for hunting.
There's snake bite boots.
Boots, but then something that goes over it and like up to your knee. There's an actual word for it.
There's an actual word for it.
My brain is not working right now.
I can't get it.
It's a chastity belt, right?
Nope.
Oh, sorry.
Gaiters. Yeah. I always wear gaiters when I'm out like hunting, because, one, animals. Two, just sharp, pokey things in general.
Yeah. More than anything else, it's the sense of security. So.
And they sound really cool.
Yeah. Wearing some gaiters.
Gator.
That's where I was going.
Gator better be wearing.
That's it. Can't go any further on that one. All right, let's move on quickly. All right, do we have anything else we want to talk about before we get into meat matters?
Nope, let's jump right in.
First one, ground beef prices surge as farmers sell off cattle herds. Again, for the second episode in the row, I want credit, because we called this when we were talking about the early sell-off and how that was going to drop prices. I said very well might not. Mm-hmm. Very well might either stay the same or go up, because nothing makes sense in our food economy right now. And
the only part of it that would kind of make sense to me is that cattle weights are lighter right now.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a part of it. But still, if there's more cattle, they weigh less. Like, shouldn't it even out? Why should prices go up? If anything, you would think stay level. There's enough things pulling down, nothing's pulling up. But I don't know. Someday we need to get like an economist on here. Maybe you were talking about reaching out to somebody at K-State for something else. Maybe we talk to them and say,
she wasn't the right person for
that. But we should find somebody for it. But talk to them and be like, hey, is anyone a meat economist in particular?
Like, we want to understand what is actually going on.
Yeah.
But from this article, it says the cost of putting food on the table is the highest it's been in 40 years.
Ugh.
And inflation is specifically impacting a summertime staple, ground beef. Ground beef prices are up 12% since this time last year, which is higher than the current rate of inflation, which is, say, is 9.1, but that's absolutely not true. And also, across the board, we're seeing lighter cattle than tradition. That's from Mike Baker, who is a rancher, I think, at Idaho. I can't remember where it said. But increased amount of product hitting the market at once, lighter cattle, so maybe it's not as big a bump. But that means the cost of ground beef in the coming months and years is going to be out of control. Absolutely out of control, because we're going to lose 40% or whatever it is that they're selling off of the herd for future years.
Hmm.
That's going to take a long time to rebuild up.
Yeah, they're
rebuild the world.
Like the very last line in the article says experts predict that meat prices will go up another 10% next year. So
at what point do we just stop buying it?
Never.
Oh, never.
Never.
We're just going to complain about it, but we're going to keep buying.
I'm also 100% hitting rifle and crossbow season this year. I'm going to stock my freezer with deer. And if I happen to shoot a cow by mistake, my eyes aren't so good.
There you go.
My eyes are a bit bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah. When you accidentally shoot something now, law enforcement's going to go back and listen to this episode and know that it was premeditated murder. Yeah.
Right. They would never know it, but one of you two will get in touch with them.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to do this. All right. So, new state meat inspection program will combat supply chain delays and lower prices. This is from the Oregon Capital Chronicle. What I found really interesting in this article, do not read the whole thing. It's not worth it. This is within the state. So they're talking about speeding up inspections for beef that is going to be sold within Oregon.
Yeah.
So, not for things that are going outside of Oregon.
Yeah. So if you're USDA inspected, you can sell anywhere across state lines. If you're state inspected, you can basically only sell it within your state.
Okay. So that is what I see as the future. I think it's going to be, people have wanted for a long, like, think about it. Less transportation, so less cost, less environmental impact. And everybody wants like this farm to fork or farm to table type thing. I mean, buying it from within your own state instead of getting it from, I don't know. Well, we're in Kansas, so, you know, we'd be okay. But makes a big difference.
You can raise cattle in basically every state across the country.
Yes.
They're
a little difficult in Alaska.
Okay, maybe. Okay. Is Alaska really a part? Okay.
Yes, it is.
I'm kidding. Alaska's different. They've got a different climate up there than the rest of us do. Well, yeah. But I don't know. I think it's a trend. I think we'll continue to see it. But the rest of the meat industry is so big, I don't think it's going to take a sizable chunk out. I mean, like we've talked about in the past, like the big four basically dominate 80%+ of the market.
I think
they're not going to suddenly fall to 40 and all of that transition over to very small processors on a very hyper local focused deal. Like you could see a chunk move, but I think if we would talk about a chunk there, we're talking about a few percentage points.
Yeah. I think it's up to 85%.
Yeah.
I think the four of them now control 85%. So maybe if stuff like this starts taking off, it goes back down to 80, high 70s. But yeah, it's never going to take the majority of it. And just to be clear, because I know we say bad things about them all the time, what the big four do is still fairly incredible. Like,
oh, yeah.
It is amazing logistics.
The scale of production and the logistics
absolutely amazing.
That's why I'm so excited to talk with Kingsbury and Associates. That is going to be an amazing interview.
It could also like legitimately disrupt the market in a good way.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It really could. If they can get 8,000 head of beef through that facility for any period of time, it's going to change things.
A huge logistical challenge. But if they prove it can be done, what stops the next guy from doing it?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, interesting. All right. Expanded meat poultry resources available. This is from CAP Journal. So basically, it's just a list of some places that meat processors can go to for technical knowledge on A, how to get some of this money from grants and what to do with it. It's Flower Hill Institute, and then it's Oregon State University's Niche Meat Processors Assistant Network. That's Rebecca Thistlethwaite's from Oregon State University. We've had her on the podcast before. She is incredibly cool and smart person. So any of our meat processors who are listening out there, if you want somebody who really understands the business and can help you figure out how to get some of this money and what to do with it, she is a great resource. There's also the Intertribal Agriculture Council, the American Meat Science Association, and the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute. I can't believe I got through that last one without mispronouncing or stumbling once.
The only thing I would add there is for meat processing resources, if you're a commercial processor, you need to be a part of AMP, American Association of Meat Processors. That's the big group that we do a lot with, and they have a ton of people involved, a ton of knowledge. Yep. They just had their big convention, 3 weeks ago?
If that.
Something like that. So they won't have another big convention for a year. But then there's state associations almost everywhere. But find out your local state association. Get a part of the National AMP group. Tons of resources there. The cost is just a very nominal fee. It's not going to make a dent in your checkbook.
Yeah. And you are slightly more likely probably to get somebody else to help you out within the industry if you are also an AMP member. So just something to think about. So from the USDA, for safety's sake, handle plant-based meat safely. We've talked about this a bunch. The number one way E. coli gets in the food is sprouts. So the whole... vegetables are safe to eat because, you know, you can eat them right out of the ground is not a good way to look at it. But it says many consumers believe that plant-based foods are minimally processed, more healthful, and nutritionally superior to otherwise similar animal-based counterparts. That's John Lukansky. Lukansky said that there have been improvements in the quality of plant-based meat. There are little to no data on the safety of such foods as it relates to microbial pathogens. Consumers generally and correctly consider meat burgers to be raw and require cooking prior to consumption. On the other hand, many consumers view plant-based burgers as not raw because they contain plant material. In reality, plants can sometimes harbor high levels of foodborne pathogens, and as such, plant-based burgers should be considered and handled just like, for example, raw ground beef.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great thing to keep in mind if you're going to try an Impossible Burger. What's the other big one?
Beyond Beef.
Beyond Beef or Beyond Meat, whatever it is.
Beyond Meat, yeah.
Yeah. So my wife, I've talked about in the past, eats Morningstar stuff. And there's a Griller's Crumble like that I eat as well sometimes. And I would never not cook it. Like, obviously, it still needs to be cooked.
My assumption is they design those products too, so that when you cook it, it makes the texture mm-hmm. and the mouth feel love that word. Yeah, feel like more like beef, pork, chicken, whatever.
Real quick, so that anyone who's a Meatgistics member and saw the post by Dave and AZ and Papa Sop about a word being a word being sentenced or censored that started with F. Had three letters in between and ended in M. We could not figure out what it was. I jokingly said I probably did it some night after one too many drinks and just forgot about it. It turns out I did do it. I don't know that I did it after that, but it is the word I hate, forum, because I like to call Meatgistics community. So yeah,
we literally had a little get together powwow yesterday trying to figure out what it was. It was you, me, Patrick, Pat. All of us were like, well, what? What is it?
It was like what Pat said. It was like Wordle.
Yeah.
We were trying to figure it out with the first and last letter. But it was like, we can even look at all the words we censor and it's not in there. Like, it's not one of those censored words. So, you know, how did that happen?
Well, you want to start with an F, right? Do you want to go dive into like what the exact we were guessing and stuff like that? Like the letters and stuff?
No.
No.
No. Well, not.
Well, I think it's funny if you tell it started with an F and ended in an M, and we had no idea. And it was supposed to be foul language. So we were just sitting there like, what could it be?
John, there's nothing.
John opened up the test section. We have a test category that only we can see. And he starts typing in curse words and trying to figure out
what it was,
what it could be.
But yeah, it was the dirty word forum made me laugh. So next article is from Poultry World. It's improving broiler meat quality with betaine. Don't know how to say that word. But they're looking at ways of introducing to the diet and the effects and the quality that has on the meat. Now, great, cool. They're doing that. They're trying a couple of different ways. I was interested because I was researching what betaine is, and it has some really interesting properties in humans. So I emailed my wife, who takes every supplement known to man, and she has betaine HCL, which is used to increase stomach acid and help with digestive tract so that you have the right acid balance to absorb nutrients. Don't know anything about this form or other forms with body competition, though, which they said was like one of the benefits of it. I have no idea how that's possible other than maybe it burns fat. I don't know. But yeah, so chickens and my wife take that. Found that interesting. So, all right, this one, the title, stick with me here. Isolation and identification of antioxidant peptides from crocodile meat hydrosilates using silica gel chromatography. Okay. I would have stopped reading way long ago if the word crocodile hadn't been in there.
This is like a legit, like,
yes. Science
research
journal
paper. Yep. Yeah. What would you call that?
A journal. And
just a journal.
Journal. Yeah. I think Dylan would know.
Yeah. It's like a study. If it was like,
okay,
well, I don't know.
It's like the results of a study.
Yeah.
Is what they're doing. So it's a paper, a science paper.
There's got to be a better scientific word for them.
Somebody out there listening going, I can't believe I listened to these two idiots. But okay, so very, very long and very difficult read, cut short.
I want you to pronounce this word, the one that's highlighted.
No, that's not a word. That's a, I don't know, dare? That looks like a curse word in Czechoslovakian or something.
I think it's a word. It says four highly active peptides were identified by LCCMS as SSLTIQFVEGQFVDSYDPTIENTFTK.
It's all caps.
All caps.
The peptides must have like identifiers. Like it's a CTH. It's got, that's the only thing I can come up with. But so crocodile meat has some free radical scavenging, like antioxidant properties. Some chemical antioxidants recently they've been shown to be toxic in the human body. So people are looking for different ways of getting antioxidants. Because crocodiles live in an area with really high pathogens and very, very rarely have infections, even though, I mean, they often have wounds on them from trying to bring down prey or fighting other animals. They thought that would be a good place to try and pull some of these antioxidants from. And it turns out, seems like they're correct. So when extracted with papain, the most successful, they used four different hydrolyzing substances, but papain was the most successful. It can actually scavenge better than ascorbic acid. So I would assume look for crocodile antioxidants coming soon. And
interesting.
I guess you probably could feel pretty good about using those. A crocodile and alligator are so similar that basically it's got to be, like, if I saw alligator antioxidants, I'd be like, okay, it's close enough.
Probably.
All right. And it has alliteration, so I like it better.
So are crocodiles and alligators kind of like dogs where like they're different, but they could like interbreed and create a new thing? Or are they close enough that they're like the same-ish thing? Or are they, nope, the totally separate species?
Like, I don't know that they, before you said that, I would have said, yeah, of course they could interbreed, but I've never heard of a crocogator.
A crocogator.
That's a great word. Crocogator.
No, they can't.
Oh, they're that different.
Darn.
But then what's like a caiman? Like a caiman seems like it would be a cross between the two, kind of.
I don't know.
I just feel like they just go, no, they can't. And it's just like, wait, you guys have tried. Yeah. What the hell happened? Is that is that Godzilla or something? And we just don't know it. Like,
Don't do it.
Well, yeah, it just doesn't seems work. Like, yeah, well, why wouldn't these two lizard creatures just be able to create an off? Like we have all those damn alpaca variations or so to
sure.
speak. So why couldn't we have?
My thought was like a wiper, a striped bass and a white bass.
Yeah.
Like they're separate, but they can make an offspring. It's not fertile, but it's an offspring. A liger,
yeah,
a tiger, a crocodile and alligator are way closer related than a lion and a tiger.
That's a great argument,
right?
I don't know.
Of water maybe compared to the types of environment you might get. I don't know either.
So there are saltwater crocodiles, but there are also non-saltwater crocodiles. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a variable. But then what about lions and tigers? Just need to be hot and dry outside, right? No, not necessarily.
No, tigers live in the jungle.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Isn't it weird that the lion's the king of the jungle and the lion doesn't live in a jungle?
Well, you don't have to live there to be king of it. That sounds like the rest of society as
fair
it
point.
Is.
Fair point. I love ligers, though. All right. I'm not going to talk about this article too much, but from Otago, Daily Times Union, it's from New Zealand. What happens when we cannot afford to eat meat anymore? It's an interesting read. Gets to the end with all like the correct information, but then like fails utterly. I really do think we're going to see an explosion of like vegetarianism. Vegetarian. I can't talk anymore.
Vegetable.
Over the next few years, I think people are going to not be willing to pay that money for meat. And then I think they're going to go vegetarian as almost like a necessity. And then the fight between meat eaters and vegetarians is going to become even worse.
I don't know. It depends, because I think it'll always be a deal where even if meat gets expensive, people will always view it as something they want and a treat. And will how important will it be? Will people specifically set aside resources and money just to buy it, have it?
I will. I'll take a second job if I have to.
Okay, deal.
Not for you.
I'm going to give you a second job.
No.
But I don't know. I don't think it'll turn people off as much as people will just find other things to cut down on.
I think once people can't afford it, cannot fit it into their budget, they will lie to themselves and tell themselves that they have made that decision. And then that natural instinct of some humans to be like, I have to do this. So does everybody else. This is the right way to do things is going to kick in and it's going to get worse.
I don't know. I hope we don't get to that point.
Have you seen anything in the last 5 years that has indicated that it's not going to go further down that divided line?
No.
Yeah. So
I don't carry an optimistic view about a lot of things.
8-3, right, John now. Predicts the, what would we call them? The vegan wars? No. The vegetarian wars? Food wars?
No.
Beef wars. The beef war.
You need to combine like two words together to make it sound
beef-itarian fun. Beefitarian war.
Beefitarian.
I don't know. We're going to have to work on the name.
Okay. We'll come up with something. All right. We don't really have time for this, but I'm going to hit it at a really high level. We talked about last couple of weeks a study where they were determining that humans basically cannot absorb protein as well from plants as they can from meat products. I wanted to break down quickly why that is, how that is. So a biology lesson for everybody who doesn't remember fifth grade biology. Your saliva has...
They don't do biology in fifth grade.
I think you're way too early on. I was
a sophomore in high school before that word even got brought up.
I was in fifth grade when we did biology.
Isn't me pointing my finger at you going, haha, this is like, why did that go away?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that should have been...
It definitely should
have been. Yeah, because we were just sitting there doing... long division for hours. I'm like, oh, this is going to come in handy. So,
That's interesting. I vividly remember studying for my biology test and having to talk about like digestion. And I don't think we got into peptides, but like amino acids and stuff. This is what I'm telling. Like when I went to college was easier than my high school.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Like, oh, I was like, this is stupid. And then I got no study skills.
The amount of time you have to do stuff too, and no one can really tell you what to do while you're there.
Well, that part I liked. Yeah, nobody telling me what to do is my favorite thing to do.
But then I kind of need a dedicated, like, hey, you have to be in here and do this. Otherwise, I'm going to be like, well, I'm just going to go out there and not do it.
So, fair point. You know? That is very much like me wanting, no matter what is going on, to come in to work, or I will do nothing.
So please,
I can't
biology, fifth grade.
Okay. Inner saliva is amylase and lipase. These don't break down proteins. They do break down fats and carbohydrates, which is part of the reason why we talk about when you bite into a really nice fatty sausage, fat coats your mouth because it's being broken down and lets you experience the flavors longer. Now, your stomach has hydrolic acid, which breaks down the proteins into chains of amino acids. There's also protease in your stomach, which is an enzyme that is going to start breaking those amino acid chains down. Then you're going to go, your pancreas is going to release enzymes and bicarbonate buffers to lower the acidity of the food. And this allows the enzymes to further break down the amino acids. This is trypsin, chymotrypsin, and carbo something. I'm not even going to try that one. All right. Now, in the small intestine is where absorption actually begins with the body. If you've ever gotten a run of hog casings and they have what people call whiskers, like it's those little white things that shoot off at kind of odd angles, those are microvilli, and you have the same thing in your stomach. That is to maximize the surface area of absorption. And at that point, we're going to start pulling those amino acids into the bloodstreams and then from the bloodstream to the cells. Liver also is going to be playing a part in here, but again, high level. So non-meat proteins are less water soluble, and that makes them more difficult to be absorbed by the cell. Now, this may or may not be exact, like the water solubility and the absorption in the cell, but it is the current running theory. That's basically it. The liver filters your blood, but also injects transporters. Those transporters do help in allowing nutrients through that cell wall. It's just like when we talked about how a low or higher acidity, lower pH environment, higher acidic environment can help prevent the growth of bacteria. It's because that bacteria is going to spend all of its energy preventing anything from getting in. So a transporter would help it actually break that wall. So don't eat plants. Eat all beef.
I feel like I just got scienced.
Science by John from fifth grade.
That was actually good, but that is definitely not fifth grade level science.
Like knowing that it was trypsin, chymotrypsin, and carboxypeptidase. No, not that. But like the general of it, yeah.
Well, I feel like you went to school and you actually had to learn it before they let you move on to the next
okay,
thing.
Okay, hold on.
Whereas like nowadays, they don't. They go, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, No Child Left Behind came out.
That was not good.
That was not good at all.
But you have to understand, like, the same thing that you're thinking right now, I used to think when my mom would know things.
Oh, really?
I'm like, they did not make us learn it like that.
Oh,
like, that is, yeah. You understand it way better than I do.
Yeah, I was like, she could regurgitate it in a way that you're like, are you an expert at this? And this is like, oh,
constantly
no,
amazed
it.
Me. Yeah. It constantly amazed me. What? Like all the stuff my mom knew, I was like,
you had to read it,
oh
though.
Oh my God.
Like, sure, you read it now, but like encyclopedias, you're like, well, you had to own them. That was the internet back then, right? Yep. Well, we don't even have an encyclopedia set, so how could I do homework at home and all that type of stuff? So, and then, but then reading it just makes it that much more. Reading and writing it down is what a teacher told me that said, when you're taking notes, that's the best way.
Absolutely. Yep. For me, at least, writing stuff down. Like, that's why if we have a real important something, I'll often just have notes that I like write down because it sometimes burns in my brain better.
So if I'm talking to you and you're not taking notes on a note, you just don't care.
In my head's going,
Well, there's also in my Spanish class of all places, middle school, the teacher would teach us tough words and or concepts, but he would do something quirky at the same time, but not in a way that you would expect it coming. Like he would just slam something and then say a word and then you'd go, he goes, remember that time I did that? So it helps associate everything all at once just for better recall, I guess.
But yeah, it's a good teacher.
That's cool.
All right. We got anything else?
Nope.
Do I have any other notes here? Shorts are the way to go, by the way.
I didn't bring shorts today. That's why
absolutely
I'm hot.
The way to go.
My feet are sweating.
I have one other thing I want to talk about. It's about that how I was reading the study about all the crocodiles, because it took me like a good 30 minutes to slog my way through that. I probably would have given up, but a quarter of the way into it, I was like, maybe, just maybe. And I kept hoping, I know it wasn't going to happen, that like I was going to read boring stuff. And all of a sudden they'd be like, we lost Kevin's arm to one of the crocodiles today. I was like, all right, cool.
Oh, man.
Didn't happen. All right. Leave a review if you're still with us, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, guys.
Next episode will be Brett, Kurt, and myself. So another story episode.
Oh, cool. Bye.
Thanks for checking out the Meatgistics podcast. To shop everything but the meat, head on over to waltonsinc.com. And to get your meat processing questions answered by experts and enthusiasts alike, head on over to our online community at meatgistics.com. Waltons.